Hey, friends and family of Parent Q Live, welcome back to another episode with Kristen Ivey and Carlos Whitaker. Kristen,
ready for another fun conversation today?
I'm ready for another fun conversation today. Yeah. Little bit of news.
Yeah.
Little bit of news about this conversation.
It's like a little bittersweet.
Little bittersweet.
Sure.
Now I know you guys are hearing that and you're thinking, wait, what? No, neither of us are retiring. but
can you retire from parenting?
No, I feel like my dad did when I was 32. He basically stopped answering my phone calls, and when I would ask him for money, like, I think he retired. He's like, nope, I'm retired.
That's awesome. I'm putting in my 2 weeks notice. It's the middle of the summer. Yeah. I am done. I am out of here.
You are, you know, wouldn't it be funny if you did retire from parenting? I mean, last night I had dinner with your family.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I kind of was in, you know, I see Kristen, the parent.
Sure.
Across the table from me with the microphone and all these stories of your life.
Right.
But I was in the story.
In
of your
the
life.
Story.
Yeah,
yeah.
With all three kids and one of them, the third child wanting to go to the bathroom every 5 minutes. And you,
she
you,
uses it as, yes. as quality time. Yes. So I think she decides she needs to go just so she can have that one-on-one moment with us
the
stall. She's still two. So if you're listening to this, she's not 13.
Right.
She's two.
She's two.
So she has to go potty all the time, I think, so she can just.
Yeah, just have some time, you know, talking one-on-one. Because, you know, other older siblings dominate.
Right.
All this to say. That what we're going to do is we're going to hit pause.
Yeah. We're going to pause on the podcast because we know that you're enjoying the summer.
Yeah.
You're spending time with family and traveling, and so are we. And we wanted to just kind of take a moment to go, we're still with you.
Yeah.
We're still your parenting friends. We enjoy the community. Stay connected with us online. Follow us on, I don't know, where are you? Instagram, Twitter.
Listen, here. If you want to keep hearing me talk to you, I actually have another podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I've got my Enter Wild podcast.
Enter Wild. Yeah. So if you're especially into hiking, hunting, fishing.
Sure. All those things.
Living
your best life. Like the
there
wild part of your faith.
Right.
The wild part of your life. I've got a podcast. You can go over there and listen to me talk over there.
Yeah. You can follow along with my family. I'll share stories about my youngest, you know, going to the potty for quality time my Insta stories and things like that.
Yep.
So we're going to stay connected to you, but we're going to take a pause on the podcast.
And we're going to come back better than ever.
That's right. Always. Because aren't we all better than ever in the fall when we restart our parenting?
Uh-huh. Everyone feels like just a new breath. And and we actually have some ideas for the podcast.
Yep.
So we want to get a little bit more creative, and we're going to give some things a shot.
Yes.
Yes, a shot.
But after a quick pause.
Yes.
For the rest of the summer.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
But not yet, because today we have a conversation.
We do. So don't, whatever you do not hit unsubscribe. Because because you're just going to blink, and one day this fall, a podcast is going to pop back up. Early fall. And we're going to be there for you with more great conversations like the one we are having today.
Yes.
With our friend Harald Gerald Fadayomi.
That's right. Gerald Fadayomi is a high school pastor at North Point Community Church and just an incredible leader. I love watching Gerald interact with high schoolers.
It's so good.
Yeah. And he's here with you today, Carlos, to have a conversation about helping prioritize for your high schoolers community.
Yeah. And it really hits me at a sweet season because you could actually hear it in the interview with Harald. I was, I almost maybe took over the questions and made them a little bit more personal than maybe he was expecting because I was like, oh my gosh, can you help me? Yeah. I've got a 14-year-old and a 16-year-old. And I basically was like sitting with a giant when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we were even talking, Kristen, a few minutes ago, how my 14-year-old has a busier summer than she's ever had, busier summer than even I have. She's at three camps. She's going to Hawaii with her best friend. She is so excited. And I'm trying to not get my feelings hurt, how excited she is to not be with me. and
so wait, did you enjoy being with your parents when you were 14?
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I did not. But I'm not my dad.
No, I mean, clearly you're cooler.
Yeah, yeah. Clearly, I'm cooler,
you were not.
Know?
You know, can I just tell you, it already started with my son. I walked into a room with him and his friends the other day, and he was so embarrassed just by my presence.
Oh, no.
He wouldn't even turn around and acknowledge I was in the room.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
He wouldn't even look at me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it has started.
Yep.
Yeah.
It has. And so I love all the stuff that Gerald told me, because it really is so important that your high schoolers have a community around them,
yep.
you know, and he's going to give us some cues and some different ways that you can help with that. So with that, all that news, all the new stuff that's going to be going on. Hope you guys enjoy this conversation. Sit back, relax, and enjoy our conversation with Gerald Fattaioli. Gerald Fattaioli.
That's right. Look, you nailed it.
I just nailed that thing down. Thanks for hanging out with us on Parent Q Live. We're talking to parents. And before we dive into some of the questions I have for you, why don't you just let the listeners know, these parents, these dads that are driving around in their Toyota Camrys listening to this, wishing that they were in their El Caminos, moms that are driving around in their minivans, wishing they were in, I don't know what they would wish they were in. But
driving in the Honda Odyssey
yeah,
with 16 cup holders.
Yeah, 16 cup holders with French fries, stale French fries down, shoved in between all the cracks of their, you know, sofa cushions. Before we dive into their questions, I need you to tell us, who are you?
That's a great question.
Who are you?
I'm still trying to figure that out. I work with high school students here in Atlanta. High school pastor here, been in student ministry for about 6 years, 3 years at the YMCA, 3 years. At a local church, married 11 months in the game, so I'm pretty
not
much
a boy.
An expert.
That's you right. are.
Yeah.
Well, let's not talk about parenting. Let's just have you tell us what to do with marriage, you know, if you can.
Yeah, well, I'm an expert on kids, too. I don't have any, so it's a lot easier to be an expert
absolutely.
Before you have them, right? That's what they say. So yeah, I just love students, love high school students, love getting to invest in them, hang out with them, and it's my passion.
I love that. I didn't know the YMCA part.
Yeah.
Tell us about that for a – for a non-YMCA person, like what does that look like for you to be involved in student ministry there?
Yeah, I used to tell people I worked at the Y, and they would go, "Are you a lifeguard?" And I'm like, "No." "Are you a referee?" "No, I'm not a referee. Like, I have an actual job."
A referee?
Yeah.
That's so good.
No, I ran leadership development programs for high school students.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So, for 3 years, I would meet with a bunch of random students and teach them how to lead and how to serve. And
wow.
Yeah, I used to call it covert Christianity because we didn't really talk about faith, but we did all of the principles around it. So,
What got you interested in working with students? I mean, for most parents that are listening, it's like the last thing we want to do. What about working with students really does it for you?
Yeah, so I went to high school next to one of the largest churches in America. Thousands of high school students who would go to this youth group. And I never got invited to youth group. And I knew a bunch of students who went, but nobody ever invited me. And I made a lot of really bad decisions in high school and then the years to follow. So for me, when I finally met Jesus, I decided I don't want any kid, any student to have the experience that I had. There should be no reason that there's any student at any school who's never invited to know who Jesus is. So, yeah, I wanted to be a part of the solution in that.
That's good. One of the blessings I have in hosting this Parent Q podcast is that My life right now, my kids are 12, 14, and 16. Well, 16, actually, tomorrow, still turn 16.
Wow.
And I think the only reason they let me do this is because, A, I don't know what I'm doing, but, B, I got kids that I need help. They know Carlos needs help, and I'm about to ask Gerald all the things about my high schoolers. And let's just dive straight into kind of where your gift set is, you know, with high schoolers and community. So I am the father of a sophomore in high school. And I think something that could be dangerous for parents of rising high school students, that high schoolers that are, you know, sophomores and now they're going to be juniors, is sometimes we can say, well, you know what? We've done it. We've done enough. Like, we've, I've had 16 good years. I don't know if there's anything else I can get into this knucklehead daughter of mine's head.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to kind of let her live these last 2 years out under my roof, and then, you know, she'll be free to go. Why is that a mistake?
Yeah, I mean, I think up until the age of 16, right, like before a student gets a license, as an adult, you're kind of helping choose your child's community. At 16, you're allowing them to choose their own, right?
Right.
And at that point, that's the most dangerous and the most critical time in a student's life, because their community is actually far more influential than a parent. Mm-hmm. Community is far more influential than the church. It's far more influential than a sermon. Like, the people they hang out with when no one else is around are the people that are going to shape who they're going to become.
Wow.
And so I always tell students, like, you don't have to tell me anything about you. Show me your three closest friends, and I'll tell you exactly who you are.
Come on.
Oh, I let you sing on the podcast?
Oh, I do. Let's go. We can go there.
Come on. I love it.
Chris is on the organ over here on the B3, and we're gonna keep doing that. You know, not only is that true for high schoolers, but that's true for us, right?
Yeah.
Like, you show me your three closest friends, and I can tell you everything about you.
Yeah, well, if you go back 6 years before I met Jesus and you looked at my three closest friends, you would know exactly who I was. Then,
you would.
You know?
What were their names?
I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that on this podcast.
What are their names, their Facebook and Twitter profiles, so we can all find out who you were 6 years ago?
Yeah, I don't want to lose my job, so we'll keep that private.
Okay, so talking about community.
Yeah.
You know, I honestly, yes, you work with high schoolers, but this is applicable to really all ages of kids. What can parents do to really help our kids choose correctly when it comes to community, fostering the community that they're in? What can we do?
Yeah, I think asking great questions is a big part of it. Like, you should be curious. We should be curious about who our students are hanging out with, who your kids are hanging out with.
Yeah.
And so I think, I mean, to your point, you have a 16-year-old, right? Like, you don't want to tell them who they can and who they can't hang out with.
Right.
Because it feels like you're not preparing them for the real world. When they leave and go to college,
yep,
they're going to have to find community on their own. They're going to have to develop friendships. And they're going to need to be able to figure out the traits of a person that should be in their life. And so what you don't want to do is pick for them. But if you're curious and you ask great questions, you can start to help them self-discover, is this someone I should be hanging out with? Is this someone who's bringing out the best in me? And even asking questions like, hey, what do you value in your friends? Like, what good qualities do your friends bring out of you? Why do you choose to hang out with this person so much? And you're asking questions not to decide for them, but for them to help, but to help them self-discover who's in my life and why are they there?
Yeah. So I'm a dad, say, and or a mom or whatever it is, whoever's listening, and your kids have a tight community.
Yeah.
But they're actually, you know, that it's unhealthy.
Yeah.
So for a parent that may have students that are in an unhealthy space with their community, what are some practical steps they can take in order to maybe help that out a little bit, you know?
Yeah, so I would say to take what I'm about to say next with a grain of salt, because I don't have kids yet.
Right? Okay.
So I know this is a lot easier to say than it is to do.
Yep.
But sometimes I want to remind parents that they're parents.
Yeah.
That, like, your kid is under your roof, and you get to decide while they're there what's best for them.
Wow.
And so on the front end, you want to ask questions to help them self-discover. But if they're still not making the right choice,
come on,
you could end up with a kid who's in jail or who makes a really bad decision that alters the rest of their life because we've never stepped in and said, you can't hang out with them anymore. Mm. So when they're 18 and they're out on their own, that's their choice and they have to make adult decisions. But but while they're at home, I think there comes a point where it's like, hey, that's an unhealthy community. And as your parent, I get to decide that you're not going to hang out with them while you're here.
You know, I don't know why that's so astounding to hear you say that, because I don't know, like as a parent, a lot of parents, I feel like we are somehow rushing our children into a maturity that they're not yet ready to have. And so many parents, you know, I think it's because of this. And I want you to lean into this a little bit. You know, I feel like maybe our kids are in an accelerated rate of information and what they know and what they're informed of and all of these things. And so because we didn't know all the things that our kids knew, we somehow sometimes mistake the amount of stuff they know for the maturity that they possess.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, just because you have adult information doesn't mean you have adult decision-making ability, right? And so just because you know everything an adult knows doesn't mean that your brain's fully developed enough to make the wisest decision. I mean, science shows us that, right? Like, if the brain is not fully developed for a boy or a man until, like, what, 21, 22, something like that? Well, really, it's like 40, if we're honest, right? Some of us are still trying to figure it out. And so, yeah, I mean, I think there's way more access to information. You can Google and figure out anything in the world, but that doesn't mean that you have the wisdom to make the right decisions with the information.
Oh man, that's so good. I love that. Okay, talk to us maybe about some structured relationships that you know the church could really help with when it comes to, you know, our students. So, and our kids, you know, my daughters are in small groups. Mm-hmm. Like they're in these actual groups with leaders and friends that are purposeful. Like it's not just the hang group that they hang with every week. There's girls that they're talk to us about that and about maybe the role the church can play in some of that?
Yeah, I mean, I would hope that at this point most churches have moved to a small group model, because it really is important for a student to have multiple adults in their life who are going to speak wisdom into them and help them to make really wise decisions. And so I would hope that maybe your student is attending a church that can partner with you in that way, where there's an adult that's walking alongside you and your student and helping them make wise decisions. I think one of the roles that parents can play in that is to really befriend your kid's small group leader, right? Like, if you don't know your kid's small group leader's name, if you've never had them over for dinner before, if you don't know what their favorite ice cream or candy is, and you're not sending them thank you notes, like, maybe that's a spot where we're missing the mark, because the more encouraged that a small group leader is, the better leader that they're going to be to your kid. And it's a partnership. I think the most dangerous thing we can do as a church is feel like, well, we're taking care of the spiritual growth of a student.
Right.
And the most dangerous thing a parent can do is assume that the church is going to take care of it.
Yeah.
Like, your kid's going to spend more time at home than they are at church.
Yeah.
So we as the church need to partner with the parent to help give them the tools and the resources to help grow their students spiritually. I think just figuring out a way to partner better together, definitely being a part of a church that has a small group model, and knowing your small group leader's name is a huge, huge deal.
Knowing the small group leader's name. What are some, I mean, do you have an example of how you've seen a small group leader really impact the community that a high schooler or middle schooler, you know, has?
Gosh, yeah. I mean, there's so many. It's hard for me to even give you one. Oh, actually, no. You know what? There's a good one. Last summer, we were down at the beach. We do a beach retreat at our church for a week in Panama City, which is crazy. I don't know why we do that.
Right.
I mean, a lot of great stories come out of it, but, you know, PCB. There's a young girl, and I won't say her name, but she's in a group of other girls who most of them are really doing it right. Like, they figured out what it means to follow Jesus. And I mean, they're not perfect. Nobody is, but they're doing it right. And so I go and I come to the small group. I'm coming to encourage them. The leaders asked me to just come and check in with them on one of the nights. They're a group of junior girls. And this girl is the one girl in the group who's like, can I be honest? I like drinking.
Yeah.
And I like partying. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I was like, all right, well, let's dive more into that. At the end of the conversation, she still felt the same way.
Yeah.
So I walk out of the room. She chases me out of the room. I'm thinking no impact has been made.
Yeah.
She chases me out of the room, and she starts weeping.
Wow.
She goes, my dad's an alcoholic. He's drinking himself to death. My mom's an alcoholic because she's drinking to cope with what's happening with my dad. And I have nobody to process this with. I have no one to talk to about it.
Wow.
And so I go, well, who do you drink with? Who do you drink with? Yeah. And she goes, well, honestly, it's a couple of girls in the group. Huh. So I was like, okay, do you think they love you? She's like, yeah. I was like, well, tell me who they are.
Yeah.
So we go and we grab these girls
and
we all sit in a room together. And I say, hey, this girl wants to stop drinking.
Yeah.
And she wants to figure out what it means to have a relationship with Jesus. But she can't do that if you keep drinking with her.
Wow.
So would you commit to 30 days of all of you guys not drinking and being in scripture every day?
Yeah.
And I just want you to text me the verse that stands out to you as you read a chapter each day.
Yeah.
And so they did it for 30 days. Wow. All of them. Two of the girls got baptized. The other girl got saved on Christmas service this year. She's going on a mission trip to Africa. And so watching this group of girls rally around her, and they didn't have a problem with drinking at all, but they're going, this is what's best for her.
Yep.
So we're going to stop. And now all three of their lives are different.
And I mean, they're in scripture every day. They're little do they know that they have like now been wrecked by the Holy Spirit, you know? And, that's beautiful, man.
And I want to be clear. It's not to say that they're perfect, right?
Like, oh, sure.
They've slipped up since then and they make mistakes, but her life looks so much different now than it did before.
Yeah.
And it really has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with a group of girls who said, hey, we care about you enough to stop doing something so that you can grow and so that you can do better. So,
man, I love that. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's some parents listening to this who were like, well, I mean, that's great for my for my super outgoing kid who loves to hang out with people. But I've got a kid who, you know, they just want to put on headphones and watch Netflix, and they just want to put on headphones and play, you know, Fortnite. They just want to be alone. They don't really want to be around people. How can you encourage some parents who have kids that are maybe, you know, on a different spectrum when it comes to wanting to have relationships?
Sure. Are you an introvert or an extrovert?
Well, I used to think I was an extrovert, but I think I'm an introvert.
So you're probably like me, right? Like, I would prefer, my ideal Friday night is sitting on the couch with my wife and not talking to each other or anyone else.
Yeah, that's perfect. I love it.
And so when small group comes around on Wednesday nights for us, every week we battle whether or not we want to go.
Yes.
Because our natural tendency is to be isolated, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think for that student, like, community is never easy.
Yeah.
And it's never something that you want to do.
Yeah.
But it's something that every time you go, you come back going, I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
And so
it's so true every time.
Yeah.
Even if you don't want to go small group, and then you do it, you're like, man, that was so good. You yep. know, and that was a lot of work, but that was good.
Right. Yeah. Right. And so I think part of it is just going, hey, again, I'm the parent.
Yeah.
I want you to enjoy life. And so part of you enjoying life is realizing what genuine community is.
Yeah.
Because you can't enjoy life in isolation. So right now, you playing video games and putting your headphones in and being by yourself feels like it's satisfying you.
Yeah.
But over the long haul, it won't.
Yeah. Ooh,
and
on.
So what's best for you is for me to say, hey, that time is done. Yep. You're going to go to small group on Sunday nights or on Wednesday nights. And then I'll be more flexible with this stuff when you're at home. And
yeah.
so yeah, I say all of that to say, hey, community is never going to be something you want to choose.
Yeah.
But I think it's something that when you decide to step out of your comfort zone and do it, or as a parent, when you push your student out of their comfort zone and make
yeah.
them do it, they may not even tell you that they're glad they went.
Yeah.
But something's happening in them that you may not even know about until they're 25 or 30 or 40
yeah.
years old.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, that's good.
So,
okay. Next version of student that maybe a parent is listening to the podcast and thinking about, what about the parent who has a student who maybe they're, you know, maybe they do want to have friends, maybe they do want to have community, but they're just awkward. And, you know, and they're maybe they're not, it's not working. They're going to small group and they're coming home every week and they're crying like, nobody's talking to me. Nobody's yeah. this or that, you know, like how do you encourage a parent that's, you know, and again, I mean, this is, you know, there's a fine line here. There could be 1,000 things going on when it comes to this sure. kind of stuff. But I think there are students that go every week to student groups or whatever you may call them, and just it's just not clicking yet. Is
yeah.
is it more like it's got to keep beating it down until maybe the thing cracks?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it. You keep yeah. trying. I think when a student is in middle school or high school,
yeah.
them having authentic community is the most important thing that could happen for them.
Yeah.
And so if it means you switch churches
wow.
to find the spot that
yeah.
best serves your student,
good.
Even if it doesn't best serve you,
yeah.
I think you got to do that. I think you got to yeah. keep moving until they find a place where they fit.
Yeah.
The other thing that I found in common with most parents that I talk to who run into this situation,
yeah.
9 out of 10 times I go, hey, has your student been on one of our events? And they go,
yep.
no,
yeah.
we haven't been able to make time for it. I go, well, that's why they haven't fit in
yes.
yet. Because something happens when you get away for 3 days or for 5 days and you're forced to be with a group of people for
yep.
24 hours a day and talk about what's going on in life.
Yeah.
There's a bond that takes place that you're never going to experience if you just show up on Sundays or
yes.
Wednesdays and you're not there on the weekend.
That's so good. Those, I mean, and you know, and those are important times. I mean, we all remember them at some point in our spiritual journey, hitting these mountaintop moments where,
yeah,
yeah you do. You get really bonded with people. Yeah. I love that. You know, we love on this podcast to end with a cue, to give the parents one cue when it comes to what's something this week that they can do as they're listening to this podcast to help their kid foster community. Give us a cue for them.
Yeah, I would just say sit down with your student and ask them, who's your best friend and what do you love about them? And start learning who your student's community is and what traits they're bringing out of your kid.
Wow, that's so good. I love that. Who their best friend is that what you said?
Yep.
And
what do they love about them?
And what do they love about them?
Yeah.
I love it. That's what I'm going to do today.
Come on.
Dude, thanks for hanging out with us.
Love
being here.
This
was a great conversation.
Los Witt, kill the spider!
Kill the spider,
if you haven't
bro.
Read it, you got to read it.
Kill it's the spider. Have you read my book?
I haven't read it.
Okay. I'm going to put you on the spot.
I haven't
but
read
but
it.
I, what I appreciate that is that you were, because I do the same thing all the time. I had a friend of mine yesterday, this is just extra, that looked me in the eye and was like, dude, have you read my book? And it was it took me a lot longer to say no than it took you. Anyway, dude, thanks for hanging out with us, man. We
yeah,
really appreciate
bet.
It. And we'll have you back the next time you read my book. And we'll
cool.
talk about that. All right.
Yo.
See ya. I love Gerald's voice. He just has this deep. it's so soothing to listen to. I could never sound like him. I'm always so jealous when I hear him talk. But not only was he great to listen to because of what his voice sounds like, but there was so much good stuff.
Yeah.
And I love what he kind of left us with, Kristen.
Yeah, I mean, there's something about your kids' friendships that when they're younger, you know who all their friends are and you know their friends' families. And then
yeah.
as they get older, sometimes it's easy to just not know who they're connecting with.
Mm-hmm.
And so the cue this week is just to help you be intentional, to sit down with your high schooler, your even middle schooler, even if you've got younger kids, you could just go, hey, who are your best friends right now? Who's
yeah.
your best friend? What do you like about them? And try to get to know a little bit about your friends. Now, you might not get much of an answer, but keep after it. Keep trying.
Yes.
Try to discover a little bit about who their best friends are, and then maybe ask yourself, how can you get some more time with their friends? I mean,
yeah.
Is it figuring out a camp that they need to go to where their friend's going to be present? Is it inviting that friend over to your house where you can get to know them a little bit? You know, I've found sometimes friends will even open up and talk to you as another parent, uh-huh, more than your own kid, yeah, in a moment. Sometimes when you've got them hanging out,
absolutely,
and it's casual and you're just having fun together. But just try to figure out your kids' friends, yeah, and use the summer as a key opportunity to make that a priority.
Yeah, and to lean into that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we really hope you guys have an incredible summer. You know, make those moments. Go back. If you really miss us so much, there's lots of content. You can go back and listen to us.
Oh, yeah.
From a few months ago. You know,
always
so much.
Check out a topic that relates to you,
yeah,
and,
yeah,
you know, play it back.
Play it back.
Yeah. Follow us. Stay subscribed. You are not going to want to miss the next season coming out,
yes,
in the fall, as we all want to kick off the new school year.
Yes.
Being intentional.
Absolutely.
Really leaning into our kids' next phase of life.
Yeah.
But for the summer,
gosh,
you know,
just have fun. Just relax.
Break from the schedule.
Break from the schedule. That's what we're going to do. But what we don't want you to break from is your subscription to Parent Q Live. We,
oh,
want,
yeah,
you to stay subscribed. That way we don't have to remind you on all the other outlets. Like, it'll just pop up on your phone when the next podcast comes up. So if you guys want to find out more about Gerald, you guys can head over to our website, theparentq.org. We're going to have some things there about this episode. Also, remember, we've got a store. So if you guys want to go to parentqstore.org, that's just a place where we've got all sorts of things that are going to help you guys guide conversations with your kids. And again, just continue to stay intentional in parenting. Guys, thank you so much. I just can't believe this is it for a few.
Yeah.
But
stay connected.
It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah,
I'm just stay connected to us. I'm going to try.
Yeah, we don't want you to leave.
No, don't leave. We're not going to play Friends with Friends Forever right now. Which I don't even know if you know what that joke is, but there's a, never mind. Just
never
forget
mind.
It.
Never mind. You know, it's like signing the yearbook right
now. It's like
now,
signing the yearbook, know? Right now. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll see you I'll see you next summer.
KIT.
KIT. KIT. RHTS.
BFF.
Raise heck this summer. Friends, for Chris and Ivy.
With that.
This is Godless Whitaker saying we'll see you next time on Parent Q Live.